Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Well, it's been almost 2 years since March of 2020. March of 2020 is a pretty big month for the world because it's basically the kickoff point of COVID. And it was right around that time we were studying 1 Corinthians. We were studying Corinthians. We had gotten into about 6 chapters, and man, it was really good. We were learning a lot. And then when COVID hit, that really changed our lives a lot and how we live. And so we decided to leave 1 Corinthians to the side for a little bit to deal with more pressing issues. How should we, as believers, followers of Jesus, see sickness? And when we and all of the things that pertain to that, and then when we had to leave church, have online services only, we went to Philippians, where we learned what it meant to grow, even when we could not be together, to learn how to grow with one another through those times. Then from there, we went to who I am in Christ and all of the blessings that are ours because of who we are in Jesus. And then we saw the assurance, the confidence that we can have in God through the story of Psalms, and how we can look to the past, to look to the future, and all of the ways that we are sustained by our Heavenly Father through this life, through the book of Psalms. So all of that, having built, our confidence and our faith being built on the things that we have studied since that time, I think it's a good time for us to head back to 1 Corinthians to pick up where we left off. Now, in order for us to do that, though, there's a lot of things in 1 Corinthians that's going to be very helpful for us. And so I think it's good for us to not just pick up right away, but to kind of do a review real quick. It's not going to be real quick. We're going to take a little bit of time to review. We went through 6 chapters. So here's my goal today. I'm going to tell you the story behind the letter, why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, and what happened to the circumstances surrounding Paul needing to write this letter. And then next week, we're going to look at the first 2 chapters. And then the week after that, we're going to look at chapters 3 and 4. And then the week after that, we're going to look at chapters 5 and 6. And then we'll get back down into our deep study of 1 Corinthians. So that's kind of what you're looking forward to. So here's my suggestion for you today, or for this week. We're going to be looking at chapters 1 and 2 next week. So look over it. Read through chapters 1 and 2 and see if you, as you study it, see what comes up into your understanding. See the things that you say, you write down the things that are helpful for you and the things that you have questions about. And learn it and study it. And then when we get back together again to study chapters 1 and 2 next week, you have a pretty good idea of what's going on, so you can follow along and you can say, oh yeah, I remember him talking about that. Oh yeah, that was really good. I was wondering about what that is, and all those kinds of things. So that hopefully that'll help us to have a better understanding of 1 Corinthians over the next couple of weeks as we get into more detail. So today, we are going to give you the story behind the letter. And this is a really interesting one. As I was studying this letter, it's interesting. A lot of churches, when we go through the letter of 1 Corinthians, there's a lot of focus on how many problems the church in Corinth had. They had a lot of problems, right? We're going to look at over the chapters that we've already gone through. We're going to see in the early chapters that they're fighting among themselves. They're struggling with pride by assuming that they're better than all the other churches, that they're wiser and better than the other churches. We're going to see that they're using their weekly gathering to draw attention to themselves, basically showing off rather than glorifying God. They're using the Lord's Supper to cause further divisions in the church, and all kinds of other things that they're struggling with. honestly, instead of the good news of the gospel flowing out of their church and into the city, what was happening was the sins of the city was being immersed into the church. One of the unique things about the church in Corinth that was very different from all of the other churches is that they were so similar to the people around them that there was very little persecution in the Corinthian church. They weren't that much different. So because of that, they didn't have much persecution. What they didn't realize, what they thought was, hey, we figured this out. We know how to live in the city and as a church family and not have to deal with persecution. But what they didn't realize was the reason for that was because they weren't displaying the glory of God as a church family like they ought to. So here's a question. Why is it important for us to go through this letter? Why is it helpful for us? Are we like that far down the road? Not at all. But what is important is this, and this is something that's very, it's a simple answer, but it's a very encouraging answer, and that is this. It is important for our church to remember that we are just like any other church. Any church grows and is changed into the image of Jesus, right? Here's the thing. God uses times when we do function as a church family should, those times when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, He uses those times to show us how He is glorified through us. When we get it right, He's like, this is how you glorify me. But nobody ever gets it right all the time. There are times when every church family goes through seasons where they don't do what they ought to do. And God uses those times to reveal to us where we can continue to be changed into the image of Jesus. Every church family in their process of growth has both experiences. Times when they get it right and times when they don't. And in both times, God uses both times for the help for the church to show them, hey, you're doing really good here, and let me show you how I am being glorified through you as a church family. And He also uses the times when we don't get it right to help us to see you still have more to do. You still have more to learn. So keep being changed, humbly being changed, and following after Jesus. These are the ways that God helps us to grow. This is important, especially when we study 1 Corinthians. Here's why. 1 Corinthians and the church of the city of Corinth is an amazing testimony as to how far the redeeming power of God is able to sustain and help a church family. When Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthian church and all of the struggles they were having, Paul didn't give up on them because he knew that God was able to sustain them even where they were at. Everybody's like, man, this church is doing horrible. And Paul's like, all right, guys, you're really messing up here, but here's what you need to do to start growing and to start moving towards glorifying God as a church family. He patiently and firmly gives them step-by-step instructions to get back to the point where they are able to glorify and magnify God with how they are building one another up, loving one another and caring for one another. So this is why 1 Corinthians is really helpful for us to know that it doesn't matter. We may get to the point where we're as bad as, I hope not, I pray not, that would be terrible. But if we do, there's always hope. God's redeeming power to sustain us and to help us. We are never too far gone as a church family. That's helpful for us. It means that God's sustaining power is strong enough. So with that confidence, we can learn from the church of Corinth, as well as what Paul has instructed them to, for us to learn as well. So that's kind of the reason 1 Corinthians is helpful, to help us to see the confidence that we have in the sustaining power of God as we have times where we get it right and times when we don't, as we learn and grow together as we follow after Jesus. All right? So that's the whole point of why we're going through 1 Corinthians. So today, we're going to look at the background, the story behind the letter. Why was the letter, why did Paul write the letter of Corinth? So to do that, we're going to go a little bit of the background of the church by looking at the story of how 1 Corinthians, or how the church in Corinth, actually came to view, came into light. The story of the Corinthian church happens on Paul's second missionary journey around A.D. 52. A.D. 52. Paul is on his second missionary journey. On his first missionary journey, he had started a bunch of churches. So then a little while later, his second missionary journey was to go to all of these different churches to see how they're doing and to continue to spread the gospel of Jesus. So in this region of Galatia, he checked out, made sure everybody was doing good in the first churches that he started, and then he continued to go west. He was going to go up north to start some churches, but the Holy Spirit said, no, don't go there. I have other plans for you. And so he continued into the region of the city of Troas. And that is where he had the Macedonian call, the vision, where he saw somebody from Macedonia said, come over to our region and help us. So Paul and Luke and Timothy and a couple of other guys decided to head over into the region of Macedonia, which is right in that area. There, a couple of churches were born. The church of Philippi in the very top, the church of Thessalonica was born, and the church of Berea was born around that time. So after those churches were built and settled, Paul decides to continue his missionary journey, and he's about towards the end of his missionary journey, and he goes down to the region of Greece, to Athens. Athens was tough for Paul. And here's why. The city of Athens was known for all of their deep thinkers and their philosophers. They loved to know about knowledge. They loved intellect and they loved knowledge. That's what they pursued. So people here in this region, Corinth and Athens, they advanced in society by what they knew and who they knew. And so the influence to them was very, very important. How influential were you? Who did you know? What did you know? It was like gold to them. Those who had influence could do whatever they wanted. And this was where Paul was starting to preach. And he was preaching and debating with the thinkers of Athens, and he tried to help them to see who Jesus was. And all they said is, oh, that's really interesting. Huh, that's something new we've never heard before. But very few people came to know Jesus in Athens. No church was started in Athens. And so Paul, even though he preached an amazing sermon, a powerful sermon, and he debated with them and tried to help them to see, nothing started in Athens. And so in Acts 18, verse 1, we see this. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Paul in Corinth is pretty discouraged. He's kind of worn down a little bit. In 1 Corinthians, in his letter to them, he was saying this. In 1 Corinthians 2, 3, it says, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Not because of physical persecution, but because maybe he was thinking, what am I'm for some reason, nothing happened in Athens. Maybe it's very possible that I'm not doing something right. And so he decides, I'm going to go back to the basics. I'm going to start with the very basics, and I'm going to preach nothing but the gospel. This is what he says in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5, where that phrase was. He says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Here's what's interesting is, go back to that one verse there, Nolan. He came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. This is the thing that they were wanting. This was the thing that they were looking forward to, but he decides not to give them what they want. He says, "I am not going to give you that. I'm going to declare to you the testimony of God." Verse 2 says this, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul's focus was not for knowledge or for understanding. Paul's purpose was to teach them simply Jesus and nothing else, and him crucified. Verse 3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling," what we just looked at. Verse 4 says this, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? Verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul was like, "I'm resetting. I'm going to preach to you simply and basically the core of the gospel, Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection. And I want your faith not to be on man's wisdom, but on God's power." And so this was his focus. For the people of Corinth, this was very unusual. Very few people purposely spoke simply and basically about what they were trying to teach. They were used to people with knowledge and intellect. And so this was a difficult thing for them, and it made an impact. It was there in Corinth that the church in Corinth was born. It started with Priscilla and Aquila. These two were fellow Jews, like Paul, that had come from Rome. And they were also tent makers, just like Paul. And so Paul and Priscilla and Aquila, they got together and he shared them the gospel and he led them to the Lord. And also there was a man named Stephanas, and he was also a strong believer in the church. And they decided to meet at the home of a rich Roman named Gaius. And Gaius's home was where they met. And as the church started growing, more and more people started coming, and the church started growing. In Acts 18, verses 9 through 10, we see how it worked, how it was going. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, 'Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace.'" Verse 10, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." So verse 11, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." That's a long time. Paul rarely spent that much time in one place. Usually it was just a couple of months, 3 months here, 4 months there. But in Corinth, he stayed there for a year and 6 months. He faced persecution in the city, but the church was established. It was built on the foundation of the gospel. And then Paul decided to leave Corinth. Can you go back to the map? Decided to leave Corinth and then head back. That was the end of his missionary journey. He goes home and he takes Priscilla and Aquila back to Ephesus. And then they are helping with people there. And then Paul decides to head home back to Antioch to finish his second missionary journey. So that's how the church was started. But what about the letter? What's going on with the letter? Well, here's what happened with the letter. A few years after the church was started, there were a couple of people who came to visit the Corinthian church. One was a speaker, a preacher named Apollos. Apollos was met by Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus. He didn't understand the full gospel of Jesus, the baptism of Jesus and different things like that. So Priscilla and Aquila helped him to understand that. And then he continued to preach the gospel. He probably visited the church in Corinth. Not only that, Peter had also stopped at the church in Corinth to visit the Corinthian church too. Apollos spoke great. He was a great speaker. He really was a good speaker. And Peter also performed miracles to help glorify God, as he often did. That was one of the things that Peter was, his spiritual gift. He was able to perform miracles, and that was an amazing thing for the people to see. So the Corinthian church, they liked these two guys. They thought they were pretty awesome. So what happens is this. Apollos was not that impressed with the Corinthian church as the Corinthian church was with Apollos. He probably, somewhere along the way, he probably visited Paul and said, "Listen, man, this church in Corinth, they're not doing all that great." And they started to tell about the things that he saw about their going back to the lifestyle of the old city. They're starting to go back into idol worship. They're having sexual immorality. They're starting to steal from each other. And it's not doing too good, Paul. Paul responds to that by actually writing them a letter. But it's a letter that we have no idea what it says because we've lost the letter. The letter is not in our hand. He actually writes about this letter that he wrote in 1 Corinthians. So this is the first letter. While he sent that letter, the church is continuing to go down. It's continuing to get worse. And instead of glorifying God and being built together by the body of being built up together as a body of Christ through the teachings of Apollos and Peter, they do something entirely different. They like team up with, they start to say, "Oh man, I love Apollos. I thought he was amazing." The Greeks, the people who lived here, they loved his wisdom and his ability to speak. So they kind of gravitated toward that. So the Greeks in the church would be like, "Oh man, I love Apollos. Apollos is the man." The Jews who loved miracles, they focused more along the lines of Peter. It's like, "Oh, no. I mean, that's really good. You know, he could speak well, but man, we love Peter. Peter's the man. Peter's really the one you ought to be following after." So there's like this conflict in the church. Apollos lovers and Peter lovers. Other people are like, no, y'all are crazy. We're the originals. We love Paul. Paul's the bee's knees. And then there were other people like the holy ones were like, "No, we just love Jesus. Just Jesus." And so there was like all this conflict. Everybody was fighting with everybody about who was the best. This news that there was all of this conflict came to Paul in the middle of his third missionary journey. You see, Paul on his third missionary journey was focusing in this. He's getting old, and this time it was like 50 years old. It was his 50th year birthday. He was just a little bit older than Dan, and he was about ready to. He knew his time on earth was limited. So he started training 8 men. And his training focus was in Ephesus, this city right here. So as he's training the men, some of the people who were in the Corinthian church, one of the believers, his name is Chloe. Well, those who worked for Chloe came to visit Paul with some questions as well as to tell him what was going on in the church. So he decides that he's going to write a letter to help them restore unity in the church. "Guys, you got to get back together again. Have unity among yourselves." And as he's writing this letter, 3 other believers, Stephanas, who was one of the original people who were trusted in Jesus, and 2 other guys, Fortunatus and Achaicus. These guys show up in 1 Corinthians 16. You can look at it later. These 3 men bring a letter from the church to ask Paul how to deal with certain things in the church that they are struggling with. Not just the division, but a whole bunch of other stuff. And when Paul hears what they have to say, he's kind of like blown out of the water. They're struggling with that and that and that too. And so He decides he's going to continue to write the letter, answer the questions that they have, and to remind them how they ought to be built up as a body of believers in Jesus that glorifies God instead of tearing one another down. And this is the main theme that I kind of sense throughout this letter is this: being built up together in the gospel. Being built up together in the gospel. The church was divided in all kinds of ways. Their love for God and one another was being replaced by love of self. This was a problem. That's a great description of sin, isn't it? When your love of God and your love for one another is overruled by your love for yourself. So Paul brings them back to the basics. Let's get back to the basics. Here is how you are to live life as a believer and as a church family, which is the gospel. Just like Paul went to the basics to teach them the gospel of Jesus, he once again reminded them, you have to go back to the gospel, the basics of the gospel. And here's why. Paul wanted them and us, as we read through this letter, to see that everything we do should be focused and seen through the lens of the gospel. That Jesus died and was buried and was resurrected for our sins. Paul says the gospel isn't just the starting point of the Christian life. It is every step of the Christian life. Every step must be taken with the focus centered in on the gospel. How you see each other as a body of believers, as a church family, centered in on the gospel. How you see your marriage relationship, husbands and wife, and also and family relationships, centered in on the gospel. How you live life, how you gather as a church, how you see your Christian liberty, all of it must be centered in on the gospel. Even how you see heaven focused in on the gospel. So when you do that, when you live life, not just for salvation in the gospel, but every step of life that you take is focused in on what Jesus has done for you through the cross, it makes everything make sense. So this is what we are going to see as we go through this letter. The gospel isn't just something we believe in to become believers. The gospel is part of every step that you take as a follower of Jesus. It's core to your being. This is what the Corinthians had forgotten. And honestly, sometimes it's easy for us to forget too. So this is helpful for us to be back to the basics, to see what it means to live life with our focus on the gospel. All right? So that is my prayer for us as we continue to go back to studying 1 Corinthians, that we are reminded, first, as a church family, instead of tearing one another apart, building one another up, being built up together. We build up and we are built up together in the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus. And as we do that, we will start to display the glory of God in ways that are impossible other than through Jesus changing us and molding us into his image so that we can love him and love one another as we are built up in the gospel. All right? Hopefully that helps. That is the story behind the letter of 1 Corinthians. Now, after the next couple of weeks, we're going to continue to look at this letter more and more in more detail and see why Paul writes the things he writes to the Corinthian church family. And hopefully that'll help us to see how to live life as followers of Jesus together as a body of believers. All right? Let's pray and we'll close it out today. Father, thank you for the ways in which you always continually sustain us. As a church family, we know Jesus, that you are the one that our focus should be consistently on. Every step we take should be seen and walked in through the lens of the gospel, the fact that you have saved us, that you love us, and that you have redeemed us for your own. Help us to remember that as we walk this week, following after you. Help us as we study chapters 1 and 2 throughout the week, so that we can learn, Holy Spirit, that you would teach us how to walk as well. And in so doing, that we can see the confidence that we have in you, that you teach us, and that you help us to grow. We thank you for all these different things. In Jesus' name, amen.